side we stick together to uphold the magpie's name.
Okay, okay, that's enough. That's enough. It's not Radio Eddie.
What an intro.
Hi, Alicia. Now, disclosure here. I do know Alicia. My daughter, Andrea, was actually coached by Alicia at East Melbourne Knights for a couple of years. But Alicia's smiling as we were playing the Collingwood theme song. I know that's tough for you because you are a mad Melbourne supporter, aren't you?
Well, I guess I was a mad Melbourne supporter, but no, that song's music to my ears at the moment. So, yeah, having a bit of a dance in here. So, yeah, what an intro.
Yeah, look, it's... I mean, all jokes aside, they are such an amazing sporting club and such a famous sporting club, and you've been there a while now. Have you been sort of overawed at times by how big a presence Collingwood Football Club casts on the sporting landscape?
Yeah, I guess, you know, when you're growing up, particularly in Melbourne, which is a footy mad, you know, town, you always drive past the Holden Centre and you think, man, look how lucky the Collingwood Football Club is, look at what they've got. And you know, when I landed in there, that's when it really hit me. And, you know, when we get to train inside the Holden Centre and we get to use all the amazing facilities there, that's when it's, you kind of pinch yourself and you know, this is really a reality now. And that's, you know, that's the future of women's footy. It's not just Collingwood, but, you know, there are going to be girls that are moving into other AFL clubs around the country eventually. And, yeah, it's really amazing.
And people like yourself, you know, the pioneers, I guess, and it just, it's changed so quickly. And, you know, if I can just be a little self-indulgent for a change, I remember taking Andrea down to the Knights. You know, she was really keen to play, and it was such a welcoming atmosphere. But what struck me was, you know, not only how good the standard was, I was really surprised by it, but the, I guess, the Spartan nature of what you had to work with. The Knights were playing on a fairly scrappy little ground next to the East Melbourne RSL bowling club there, and there were actually no change rooms, you know, so the girls would play games and then just have to sort of jump in their cars all muddy and go home for a shower, and no floodlights to train by. And, you know, switch forward, what, 4 or 5 years, and you've got these sort of facilities to train. Do you still sort of pinch yourself at times that this has happened?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And even at, you know, state league club level, where, well, we will all go back to play come May this year. It's, you know, the facilities there is another huge drop. But I guess when you're comparing to what the standard was like 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, it's a credit to not only the players themselves in making sure that we continue to develop and make our football a really, you know, attractive brand, but it's a credit to all the people working behind the scenes as well, who are really advocating for women's sport and really pushing, and media, you guys as well, for promoting the game. So because we have had that added exposure, people are paying attention now. We're getting high quality coaching, and we're getting people investing some time and money into the sport. So, and that's why we've seen that massive growth.
So do you feel like standards, and, you know, so a cynic on the SMS machine says, you know, she hasn't even played a game yet and she's a star. Well, I can tell you at local level she is a star. But, you know, you've got to sort of get the runs on the board, don't you, in a sense. But in training terms, you know, and skill level, have you seen quicker improvements because those facilities have been there than you would otherwise?
Yeah, definitely. I know in Victoria last year they put a heap of I keep mentioning it, but they put a heap of time and money into the State Academy program and invited over 100 girls into that program. Girls who, you know, the standard varied. You had your top end, your real top end talent mixing in with girls who'd only played, you know, 2 or 3 years of football but had shown potential. And by bringing that group all together, I think there was, you know, it really fastened up the pace of, you know, development. Mm. And we've had coaches involved who've worked in AFL space previously, in the AFL space previously, and they've jumped on board. And yeah, I keep mentioning it, but really having seen where women's footy was 10 years ago and having come up through the ranks, I can tell you that it has just jumped, and the talent coming through as well is incredible.
Has there been one moment that sort of made you think, wow, you know, that we've really turned the corner? I think, you know, probably those televised exhibition games between Melbourne and the Bulldogs, and you played for Melbourne in them, have been part of that. I'm wondering if that game that was played in the week off between the last AFL round and the first week of the finals seems to be, because the TV ratings for that were phenomenal. Do you think that was the moment when a lot of people went, hey, this thing really is a credible sort of piece of the football market now?
Yeah, I think because it did fall in that bye weekend, a lot of people, you know, they love getting their footy fixed, so they did come down and watch. But, you know, we had a look at the TV ratings and the clubs were just overawed by the attention that it did get in the general public. And I think, you know, when we had Channel 7 there and, you know, Daisy was mic'd up during the game, that's when you know, those things would never happen. So that was the next natural step in this progression towards 2017. So now in I think it's 2 weeks from today, it'll all roll out and it'll be a whole new competition that we've never played in before. But so we don't know what to expect, but, you know, we're all super, super, super excited.
This has always been natural for you, though. I mean, I think you started going to Auskick at, what, five or six or something? Your dad, Brian, has been heavily involved in women's football and was heavily involved with East Malvern Knights. So for you, there was nothing sort of different about it. For a lot of other people, women's football was very different. Was there a point, you know, when you were a girl or, you know, even as an adult, where it sort of dawned on you that, you know, not everyone did this and it was seen as being a bit sort of left field, women's football?
Yeah, for me, because I started, you know, way back in Auskick, it wasn't until the age of probably 10 or 11 or 12 when I realised, oh, I'm actually probably somewhat of the odd one out here. And that's when I started to pay a little bit more attention about what people were saying on the footy field and what parents were saying and this and that. But, you know, I pushed through and I'm really lucky that my dad is super supportive. My family was really super, super supportive of me. And, you know, I've kind of had to face that adversity a little bit, but then it kind of became the cool thing, and it definitely is the cool thing now. And we've seen there are young girls running around in junior sides all over the country. It's not just one or two in a club, it's, you know, now there are whole teams filled. So it's for me to have gone through that process and have seen that pathway develop, it's really special for me to now think that, you know, 14 years ago or whatever, this pathway wasn't available to young girls, and now that I'm actually a part of the first year of this, it's pretty special.
It's sort of opened the floodgates a bit in terms of junior participation in women's football, hasn't it? And like you're saying, I mean, peer groups have a lot of influence over which sporting direction kids take. And, you know, I guess a lot of girls now, you know, they see people like you on the back pages of the newspapers and they think, oh, yeah, you know, women's football is just another part of football I'm going to play. There's no sort of thing about, oh, this is a bit weird, or will I get teased because I'm playing a man's game?
And that comes with all that, as you just touched on, all that added media exposure. There's now a real visible pathway for girls. And, you know, as soon as this competition kicks off, there's going to be some, you know, girls who are uncovered that you haven't heard of before. You know, there are some, the younger talent coming through, there are some real superstars in that. And we already have, you know, we already know about Taylor Harris and Daisy and Katie Brennan and Ellie Blackburn. And hopefully, and they will continue to be household names, but there are certainly some other younger stars coming through that even, you know, in 10 years' time, girls that aren't even born yet will hopefully look up to these young women.
Your background's also been a bit different from the point of view that you've always had that interest in coaching as well. I mean, a lot of people play and then turn their attentions to coaching, but you've played and coached at the same time. Do you think that's improved you as a player?
That's a really good question, Rowan. So I kind of went into...
I ask them occasionally.
I went into the coaching space, and that's where I met you and Andrea.
Yeah.
After I finished playing as an under-18 girl, and I just took over the reins at East Malvern from Dad. And that was... I just wanted to stay involved in that kind of community football level, at that level. And then the doors opened up for me in state coaching capacities. And at that time, we didn't have 2017 vision. It was 2020 vision in terms of this AFL women's competition or even later. So for me, my future in football looked like it was going to be in that coaching space rather than a player. So, and then obviously they made their 2017 announcement a little bit earlier. And that's when it kind of sprung for me that, hey, I love doing my coaching, but now is the right time for me to also to get the best or to make the most of this opportunity and really try and be a part of that first year. So it's been really interesting. I've had to balance a lot. I cover many kilometres in my car getting to and from Craigieburn, but it's all good fun.
Yeah, and you've been involved with a couple of with Calder Cannons, and you were, I think, development coach for the under-16s, but a couple of Guys who played at the Gold Coast, I think Took Miller and Peter Wright, was he the other one?
Yep. So when I started out at the Cannons, those boys were in their under 16 level. So, you know, Pete Wright was somewhat a little bit shorter than what he is now.
He was one. What was he? 1 meter, Peter? Then
he was still a meter taller than me. So, so that was pretty cool. And then I progressed up as they progressed up through the program into the under 18 level. I also worked as a development coach in the TAC Cup side as they were moving up. So that was pretty cool to have started with that, you know, that class of, so to speak, and then to see. A number of those boys get drafted was pretty special. I went up to the draft that year, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, great. We're talking to Alicia Eva from the Collingwood AFL women's side, and a lot of excitement building about the start to the competition. And Alicia, you guys kick it off, don't you, against Carlton? Just give us the details, date, time, place.
We do. So, February 3rd at 7:40, I think, is Bounce Down.
Yep.
At the Holden Centre, so Olympic Park Oval. We're all very, very excited for that. And, you know, there's such a strong history between those two clubs, and particularly in the 125th anniversary year of Collingwood, they're really kind of, they want to amp up this game and build it up to celebrate that rivalry. And it's going to be a really special night. And I keep telling everyone, but I'm pumped for it.
Yeah, I bet. It's real sort of, in a way, for spectators, it'll be sort of old style footy, won't it? Because there's no seating as such. I don't know if they're planning on bringing any in, but sort of first come, first served in terms of vantage points.
Yeah, it's.
Are you guys going to get in? you want to rock up late?
Look, I hope so. I can't put a figure on it, but from what I'm hearing, there's going to be plenty of people there, so probably would advise you to get there early and get some grass. But playing at Olympic Park, it will have that real kind of suburban footy feel, but in terms of, you know, the numbers that are going to be there, it's the big stage for us, and we're going to be up in lights and it's going to be broadcasted, so it's a big deal, and it should be a big game because it's massive in terms of AFL history.
Well, it's without having played a game yet, some of the people like yourself and Daisy Pierce are becoming better known. One of the great discoveries, I think, in terms of personalities on the women's scene has been Mo Hope. And our own Finey and myself did a show last year, Footyology, and we had Mo on, and there's been an Australian story done on it. I mean, it's such a fantastic story. I mean, the obstacles she's had to overcome simply to be able to play footy, you know, caring for a disabled sister, and her mother's been sick and she lost her father. She's one of, I think, 14 siblings. She's an unconventional looking female sports star. You've now rubbed shoulders with her for a fair while. How do you find it?
Mo's an awesome person. She, you know, I've, prior to this year, that I've only come across her on the footy field, and I tell you what, she's pretty scary because she can kick goals from left, right, centre, behind the boundary, anything. And, you know, she's not only dangerous in the air, but as soon as the ball hits the deck, you're in trouble. So I'm happy I'm on her side for once.
Yeah.
but her story is incredible, and the work she's doing behind the scenes away from football is, you know, she's an inspiring person.
Yeah.
And then when she hits the track, and, you know, she's got a fair bit of media stuff on at the moment, and she's got, you know, a lot of commitments at the present time, but she's making sure that she's around the club and you know, on the track. She's not the loudest person on the track, but when she does talk, everyone listens, and she has a wealth of knowledge there. So it's been really, really good to get to know Mo.
And did you see that Australian Story episode? I mean, she's got an incredible relationship with Susan Alberti, who's been such an important figure, I guess, in the rise of women's football.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's a relationship that she's going to cherish from here on out. And Susan's been pivotal. I can't even put words to how important she's been in 2017 coming into fruition. So, you know, Mo's no longer at the Bulldogs, Susan's, you know, beloved club, but they will share a really special relationship going forward. And, we owe a lot to Susan.
Who are some of the other Collingwood players we should be looking out for when we enter into this new season?
Well, Steph Chiocci. Who else have we got? I think Jazz Garner is going to be a surprise packet, and she's one of the younger girls, but, you know, she's played state footy before. She's got herself really, really fit, and she's got one of the best right boots in the competition. She can kick it almost, well, she can kick it 50 metres, so hopefully we'll see her kick a couple of bags. But now that she's got herself fit, I don't know where she's going to play. But credit to her. Helen Roden has been another surprise packet. You know, coming from a basketball background, there's been, you know, in the outside world, people have had those conversations around, oh, what are these girls? You know, they've never played footy before. What are they going to bring to the AFL environment? Well, I think Helen will surprise a lot of people. Her skills are fantastic, and you know, her vertical leap is pretty scary as well. She can, you know, springboard. So she's another one to look out for. You know, I could bring them all off.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Do
you think the girls coming in from the other sports are going to change the way the game is played, perhaps?
That's another interesting question, Ryan. we've played a couple of practice games. We've played the one, but we've been doing a heap of games and stuff. And, you know, it's taken for those girls that have come from different sports, it's taken a little bit more game sense education to get them used to the style and pace of the game. But, you know, I think the majority of them are just going to fit in seamlessly. And, you know, in terms of an off-field perspective as well, what they bring to the team and to the club in terms of professionalism and what they've brought from other sports has been fantastic.
I think a lot of people who had their first look at women's football via those exhibition games on TV were pleasantly surprised. And in a lot of cases, they were the same people that sort of lament the loss of some of the older football qualities, like, you know, this opponent and playing on that opponent, contested marking, a bit of space for people to use their skills. Is that the thing, you know, when you get converts coming to women's football, is that the thing they say to you that they enjoy? There's almost a sort of a retro feel about it, like in a men's football sense?
After the last exhibition game that was played in September, there were a few comments like that, that it, you know, it reminded them of old school footy, so to speak. You know, it wasn't just a kind of rolling scrum.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I've never thought of it like that. The AFL have slightly modified the rules and we're playing 16-a-side to open up the space and to make it that attractive brand of footy. But to us, that's a brand of footy that we feel like we play week in, week out at local level. And hopefully that's, you know, that's continues to be on display throughout this competition.
So what would you say, I guess, you know, if it's on your head to sort of help market this competition and women's football in general? And, you know, I know that there'll be plenty of people listening who are sceptical about how good it will be and whether they want to actually invest their time watching. You know, if I asked you to, how would you try and sell the product to them nice and succinctly, how would you do it?
Oh, you put me under the pump here. I think we as players, our responsibility is to just make sure we play the most attractive brand of football that we can.
Yeah.
And in doing so, that means we've got to make sure that we're continually refining our skills, just doing the basics well, and also just being able to, you know, we all know what we're capable of doing, and, you know, we're so keen to just put that on display and put that on show come game day. Having been around women's footy for a number of years now and having played against some of the stars of the competition, I'm privy to the amount of excitement and to the show that's going to be put on. But, you know, if you haven't seen a heap of women's football, come down on Feb 3rd and I'm sure you'll be pleasantly surprised. It's going to be a good game.
Will this be February 3rd that evening? Will that be sort of one of the biggest buzzes you've had in your life?
I think yes. Yeah, they're talking about figures and how many people are going to come and this and that. And I did play in some previous exhibition games, but I think this will be the biggest crowd that any of us have played in front of. The Collingwood supporters have been fantastic so far. We have a number of supporters who come and watch us train and they just can't wait for round one. So, yeah, it's going to be there's going to be plenty of nervous energy in the change rooms beforehand, but this is years in the making. And
yeah,
we just can't wait for bounce down.
Well, just on that thing about the supporters, Collingwood women's memberships are on sale now from $90, and you can pick one up by calling 1300 6247. 4-3. Really excited for you, Elise. I've seen you, I guess, in more humble surrounds, and it's great to see your dedication rewarded with a more professional setting and great for women's game. And I think women's footy will be fantastic for the Melbourne and Australian sporting scene. So roll on February 3rd, 7:40 Olympic Park. Good luck in the battle against the Blues.
Thank you very much, and good to see you again.
Yeah, good. I'll see if you I can get you to reignite Andrea's football career, because it's fair to say it's stalled.
All right, Andrew, if you're listening, wait for the call.